Hey, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Blake Allen, and I get the privilege of serving as a campus pastor of Living Hope at our Dunbar Cave location. And so God has started to work there, church there in town merged with Living Hope in 2022, and we launched out. And God has been doing some awesome things there, and I got a privilege of coming back. And Pastor Derek invited me to come back and preach, and I've seen a lot of faces that I recognize, but I also get to see some new faces. And so it's a privilege to be back with you guys today in worship. We're going to be continuing in our series, He Is, in John chapter 16 today, John chapter 16. And what I'm excited is this message really fits what we just heard about. So we got the privilege of experiencing a baptism this morning, and praise God for that He is in the business of rescuing people, of saving folks. We got the praise report that we have three that have committed their lives to the Lord, three students, and how awesome is that to know that we serve a God who is in the business of taking us from death to life. He is in the business of resurrecting people from their spiritual graves. And we serve an awesome and mighty God. And this is what it's all about as we continue in John 16. If you remember, up until this point, Jesus has been with the disciples, and he tells them that he's about to go home. He's about to go away to prepare a place for them. He's going to come back, but until then, they have a mission that they need to continue. They have a mission that they have to finish. And he tells his disciples, you don't have to worry about doing this mission on your own. In fact, I'm going to give you the helper. I'm going to send the helper, the Holy Spirit, who's going to come. And he is going to empower you to do the work that I have set for you to do. And he tells the disciples just before this account that the disciples are going to testify about Jesus Christ. They're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And people are going to respond and get saved and added to the kingdom of God. And so this is the challenge that he leaves for us. There's a story of this man who was given an account of how he got drafted into the army. And he said, I didn't enlist. I got drafted. He said he didn't make it easy either. He tried to get out of the draft. And so when he went to go take some tests by the physician asked him, hey, read the letters on the wall. And he was trying to get out of it. So he was like, what letters? And the doctor said, good, you passed the hearing test. And so listen, here's the reality. When you and I, we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we have enlisted in God's army. And God has called us to be a part of His army to finish the mission that He has given us. And so that's what our story is about today. It's about finishing the mission that God has given us to tell people about Jesus, to share the good hope that we have in Jesus. And so that's what we're going to be in John chapter 16 today. And beginning in verse 1, it says this, I've told you these things to keep you from sinning, from stumbling. They will ban you from the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do these things because they haven't known the Father or me, but I have told you these things so that when their time comes, you will remember I told them to you. I didn't tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you. Listen, we are called to serve on mission for God. And there's three promises that God gives us as we are going on mission for Him. Promise number one, the reward outweighs the cost. The reward outweighs the cost. And this is exactly why Jesus went to the cross, because He knew that the reward would outweigh the cost. It cost Him His life. It cost Him His blood. It cost Him to give up Himself so that we might be saved. But the reward was great. The reward for Jesus was the victory of the cross. The reward for Jesus was the exaltation of Himself in glory. The reward is that He has set free the captives. He has freed you and I from the pit of hell, from slavery of sin. He has done everything necessary so that He could receive His prized bride. The reward outweighs the cost. And that's what Jesus wants the disciples to understand, is that there is a cost to following Jesus. Listen, if anybody comes to you and tells you that following Jesus means that you'll have health, wealth, and prosperity, then they're trying to sell you something. It costs to follow Jesus. In fact, throughout the New Testament, we see that Jesus tells his disciples time and time again that there is a cost of following me. Foxes have holes, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. I can't promise you that you will have comfort. I can't promise you that you will have safety and security. I can't promise you that you won't be tested and tried. But I can promise you that the reward outweighs the cost. So he tells the disciples, listen, there's a cost of following me. You'll get put out of the synagogues. And for the disciples to hear this must have been very traumatizing. The reason being is that the synagogue is a place of Jewish communal worship. This is where people gather together, the fellowship and worship. And to be banned from the synagogue meant that you lost your privileges of being with the community there. It means you lost your identity. It means that your family would be outcast. It means that you would be mistreated, treated very differently. And so when Jesus tells them you'll be kicked out of the synagogue, they knew immediately that there's a cost to this of following Jesus. You might be mocked. You might be laughed at. You might be made fun of because of your faith. You might be outcast to the world. You might lose your identity. In fact, we're called to lose our identity in the world and find it in Christ. But you will experience these things. And then he goes on and he presses on and he says, not only that, but you might be killed. Your life might be taken. Listen, there's a time where I didn't tell you these things before, Jesus says, because all the target was on Jesus' back. All the focus and attention or the persecution was on him. But he says, listen, now the world's going to persecute you too. They want to extinguish Jesus so much so that they want to even kill his reputation and name through the disciples to stop the word from spreading. And we see this all throughout history. People time and time again has tried to kill Jesus and kill Christians and martyr his followers. But it only led to further spread of the gospel. So Jesus is saying here, listen, there's a cost to this, but the reward is great. It might cost you your identity in the world. It might cost you your life. And in fact, we have brothers and sisters all around the world that are actually losing their life because they proclaim Jesus. But he says the reward is worth it. Now, hearing this, the disciples might have been asking the question, is it really worth it? Is this what I signed up for? Is this what I signed up for? To have my life killed, to have my name tarnished, to be an outcast to the world? And we might have been told something about following Jesus where it's all comfortable, it's all security. But following Jesus, Jesus wants this to be explicit, it might cost you some things. You might not be able to run with the same friends that you had in the past. You might be outcast by some family members who don't agree with the life that you choose to live for Jesus. You might have some people in your life that turn their back on you because you proclaim Christ, but the reward outweighs the cost. So is this what we signed up for? And Jesus says the reward outweighs the cost. Listen, there is a cost that might cost you, but the reward is eternal blessing. The reward is eternal life. The reward is eternity with heaven. When we get and face our Maker face to face and we are praising His name around the throne where there's no more sickness, there's no more death, there's no more disease, there's no more destruction, there's no more political wars. When we get to heaven, it's just eternal peace. Because God, Jesus, went away to prepare that place for you, and the reward for your faithfulness is great. So listen, you and I, we're called to finish the mission, and Jesus promises us that the reward is worth it. But number two, he also promises us that the mission is worth the fight. It's worth the fight. In verse 5, he says, "But now I'm going away to him who sent me, and not one of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' Yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because they don't believe in me, and about righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. And about judgment because the ruler of this world has already been judged." Listen, the mission is worth the fight. If you've ever had the privilege of serving in our military, then you will recognize the term Charlie Mike. And it means that we are called to continue the mission and we are to persevere and fight through whatever comes our way. We are to advance no matter the adversity that comes our way. We are to push through. That's what that means. Jesus completed his mission. No matter, despite the obstacles, despite the persecution, despite the things he faced, he pushed through to the end. He saw the mission through so that we could experience eternal life. Jesus sets the example of this. Jesus had to push through. The disciples, that they didn't understand this. When they heard the news that Jesus had to go away to the cross, they were emotionally wrecked. They were like a deer in headlights. They didn't know what to say or where to go from here. But Jesus is trying to get them to understand that he had to see the mission through. He says, I'm going away in verse 5, and none of you ask me where I'm going. It's interesting that Jesus says this because when you refer back to chapter 14, when Jesus initially told them he's going away, the disciples had a couple questions. They said, Jesus, how can we know the way of where you're going? And Philip says, hey, in fact, show us the way to the Father so that we could have some confirmation and we can know that you're telling us the truth, Jesus. It's not that the disciples didn't ask where Jesus was going. That wasn't really their question. Their question was, Jesus, why are you leaving us behind? It's kind of like this. If a father and a son goes on a fishing trip and the father gets called away to work and leaves the son there, the son's going to be like, oh, Dad, we're supposed to be fishing together. Why are you going away? And the son's question really isn't why you are going away or what's the destination. The son's question is, why are you leaving me? This is the same posture that the disciples take. I say, Jesus, why are you leaving me behind? And Jesus is trying to get them to understand it's because I have to see the mission through. It's for your benefit that I go away. Jesus says there's two reasons why he has to go. Number one, to secure our salvation on the cross. He has to go. Otherwise, we cannot be freed. We'll still be enslaved to sin. We'll still be eternally separated from God if I don't see this mission through. But number two, if I go, you have the benefit of receiving the Helper, the promise of the Holy Spirit who's going to come. Listen, up until this time, I've been with you, but if I go away, I'm going to be in you. He tells the disciples. So he has to see the mission through. And then he wants us, the disciples, to see the mission through. Jesus tells them, listen, you're asking the question, why am I leaving? Why am I going away? You're asking the wrong question. The question that you should be asking is, where do I go from here? What's next, Jesus? What's the next step we need to take to continue the mission and see it through? Jesus says, listen, I'm leaving because I'm going to prepare a place for you. In other words, you're focused on the problem. You're focused on the issues. What I'm focusing on is finishing the mission so that you can have a place with me. That you can be one with me. Jesus had to finish the mission. Listen, when we don't understand all the details of what's going on, Jesus is up to something. When we can't see why he allows certain things to happen in your life, Jesus is up to something. You might not have all the details, but God is not calling you to the details. He's calling you to devotion. Listen, in the military, having an operation plan means you have all the details of what's coming. Now, there's another term I'm not going to repeat up here that when you don't have all the details, you military guys know what I'm talking about. Right? But Jesus is calling us to have faith and trust in him. And have devotion over the details. He wants us to see the mission through. But this might make us ask the question, okay, well, the Savior is leaving. He is leaving us. How are we to continue the mission? And Jesus says this, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to do three things. Number one, he's going to convict the world about sin. He says about sin because they do not believe in me. In other words, he's going to show the world their need for Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that does the convincing and the convicting. So you and I have been given the great commission to take to the lost, but it's not up to you and I to convince somebody or convict somebody or compel somebody to come to know Jesus. We're just planting the seeds, but it's the Holy Spirit that's actually doing the work. So he said he's going to be the one to show the world their sin, that they were wrong about sin, that sin is not pleasure, sin is not enjoyment, sin is not something that you want to get involved in. And he says about sin because they do not believe in me. The Holy Spirit is going to show the world that they were wrong about their unbelief in Jesus. Unbelief in Jesus is the chief sin that leads to other sins. Listen, men in the room, the reason why so many fall into the trap of pornography is because they don't believe in Jesus and what he said about adultery. The reason why people steal is because they don't believe in Jesus and about what he said about being a thief. The reason why people lie and why people commit certain sins and do different things is because they don't trust and believe that God's word actually says not to do these things. Unbelief in Jesus is what leads to the other sins. And so Jesus says, listen, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and it's not up to you to save people. The Holy Spirit is going to do the convicting about sin. Not only about sin, but also about righteousness. He says in verse 10 about righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. The Holy Spirit is going to convince the world that their righteousness is not enough. When asked the question, I've been asked this question before, and maybe you've been asked this question. If you died today, how do you know you will be in heaven? And many of us, and I've said this before in my life until I came to know Jesus, is, well, I'm a good person. Or I'm not that bad of a person, and I try to do good things. And what he's saying in this passage is the Holy Spirit's going to convict you and say your righteousness is not enough to get you into heaven. It's not about being a good person. It's not about having good morals. It's not about trying your best. In fact, in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, he says your good works are like filthy rags before God. That's how bad they are. And in the New Testament, you can see the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They had all the law. They tried to follow God's law as tightly as they could. In fact, they made laws about the laws and tried to stick to those. And even their righteousness is not good enough. And he tells the disciples, listen, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And they're like, well, how can anyone enter the kingdom of God? He says, exactly. It's not through your righteousness. It's about Christ's righteousness. He finished the mission. He paid it all. It was worth the fight so that we could be clothed in Christ's righteousness. And Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to convince the world of this. But not only about righteousness, because he's going to the Father, because it takes Jesus going to the cross and back to the Father for this to take place. But he also says about judgment in verse 11. About judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. The Holy Spirit is going to convince them that their decision to crucify the Messiah was the wrong judgment. That they thought they were offering a service to God by judging Jesus, but really they are judged and Jesus is the ultimate judge. And he says about judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. When Jesus went to the cross, Satan was cheering. He thought he was the victorious one. But listen, it's not the grave that has the final verdict. It's the cross that has the final verdict. And Jesus says that he is the conquering king. He's the Messiah. He's the one who overthrew Satan and his followers. And so how do we fulfill this mission? Well, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls us to complete the mission. But it's not up to you and I to do the saving. It's up to us to plant the seed and trust that God will cause it to grow as the Holy Spirit works on their hearts. A lot of times what keeps us from sharing the gospel with somebody is that we're scared. We think it's up to us to make it happen. And if they don't respond by accepting Jesus, we believe that they have rejected us. We believe that we have failed in our mission. But Jesus calls us just to be faithful and go tell somebody about Jesus. Listen, that coworker you know that's separated from God, tell them about Jesus. That family member that is going to die and go to hell, tell them about Jesus. That friend, that family, that neighbor that you know that is lost in your mind, tell them about Jesus. You fulfill your mission, going on mission, trusting that it's worth the fight. Your family member is worth that fight. Your friend is worth that fight. Your coworker is worth that fight. And so fight by trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to be doing the convicting. You just be faithful to plant the seed. He will cause it to grow. Fulfill the mission. The fight is worth it. And then he tells us finally, listen, here's a third promise. You're not by yourself, but supernatural help will come. Supernatural help will come. In verse 12, he said, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from me what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. And this is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. Jesus' promise is that they will have supernatural help. He's going away to the Father, but he is not abandoning them. He's going away to heaven to prepare a place for them, but he will send the helper who will empower them and be within them. And so he says, I'll give you supernatural help. And they don't have understanding. Jesus says, listen, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them right now. Anytime that Jesus brought up that he was going to the cross, the disciples started feeling sorrow and grief. So Jesus is like, if we just keep getting stuck here, then what good of it is it of me to continue to teach you about heavenly things to come? When they're stuck on the cross and trying to wrap their mind around that. And any time previous before that Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, you know what they did? They jockeyed over position. Who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus is like, you're missing the teaching. It's not about you. He says, I have many things that I want to tell you, but until the cross happens and I raise and the Holy Spirit comes, you can't bear it right now. But this is why I'm going to send the Spirit. The Spirit of God does two things for the disciples that we see in this passage. Number one, he communicates truth to the disciples. You got to remember at this time, they didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. You and I have the privilege today of being able to read both the Old and New Testament, the complete Word of God. But for them, they had to rely on the Holy Spirit that would progressively reveal revelation to them. And what the Holy Spirit does is he communicates truth to the disciples so that they can fulfill their mission. And the truth all revolves around the person and work of Jesus Christ. So the Spirit of God, who's sent by Jesus, testifies to the things about Jesus. And the purpose of illuminating the truth of Jesus is so that the disciples would look more like Jesus. And so he reveals the Word of God to them. He reveals the Word of God by speaking that truth into their lives. So the Holy Spirit communicates truth to the disciples so that they may look more like Jesus. Listen, you and I, we still have the Holy Spirit speaking to us today, but we also have the complete Word of God. There's a lot of talk, depending on different traditions, different church backgrounds that you come from, where it seems as though some choose the Spirit over the flesh, or not the Spirit over the flesh, Spirit over the Word, and some choose the Word over the Spirit. There's some that highly elevate the Holy Spirit and focus all their ministry and intention to the Holy Spirit, and there's some that focus all their attention devoid of the Holy Spirit and only focus on the Word. Listen, the Spirit doesn't contradict the Word, and the Word doesn't contradict the Spirit. They're both the same. They both confirm the same truth, that Jesus is Lord and worthy to be praised. The Spirit is our God. He still speaks to us today. In this passage, he's called the Counselor. And sometimes that's exactly what we need because of the things that we face in life. And the Holy Spirit counsels us through that. But he confirms also what is in the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit's job is to manifest the person of Jesus in our lives. So that when we walk out of this place on Sunday morning and we go to work and we go to our families and we go to different places of the world, that we look like Jesus. So he communicates truth to the disciples, and then he communicates truth through the disciples. Guys, we got a mission to do. Romans tells us, how can the lost call on the one they have not heard of? How can they hear of the one that no one preaches to? And he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who take the gospel, the good news, to those who are lost. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The problem is not the harvest. The problem is the laborers. The problem is those who are not committed to finishing the mission. Listen, Jesus wants to do a work through you. He wants to work. His Holy Spirit was given us to empower us, not to make us scared of sharing the truth of Jesus to our neighbors and people who are lost, but to empower us and send us out to deploy us on mission for Him, to continue the mission and push through no matter what adversity comes. We're called to finish the mission. And so if we're going to finish the mission, we got to do a couple things. We got to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We got to trust Jesus, who calls us to go therefore make disciples, baptizing and teaching, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We got to trust that the Holy Spirit is with us as our guide, that He's our counselor, that He will be the one to give us the words to share to those who need Jesus. And so listen, you and I, we have to accomplish the mission. There are about 8 billion people roughly in this world. And only roughly 2 billion of those claim Christianity. That's just professing Jesus. Only about 2 billion people. And it seems like the fight before us is an impossible one. It seems like it's a losing battle. It seems like darkness is advancing more than the gospel is advancing. But Jesus promises us that we already have victory in Him. He is the one who has overcome the world, and He has empowered us by the Spirit of God to go and push back darkness in our city. He says, I'm giving you everything that you need to empower you to do the work, and we must accomplish the mission. We must advance on enemy territory. We must go and share the hope of Jesus that we ourselves have found. Will you accomplish the mission? But if you're going to accomplish it, it's going to require a couple things. Number one, a sacrifice. Ultimately, Jesus was a sacrifice to secure salvation, but He sends us out on mission, and it requires a sacrifice. Number one, we might have to sacrifice some comfortability. It's not comfortable to share the gospel with people you don't know. It's even more awkward to share with family that you do know who's lost. But it takes sacrificing that comfort to see the mission through. It also calls you to give up the comfort of your own life because you found your life in Jesus. Your life is with Him now, and everything that you want to do is just to please Christ. But that requires us to take our focus off of our success, off of our retirement, off of our things that we can amass in this world, building a comfortable life here on earth, because we know the truth that this is our temporary home, but there's an eternal home to come. There's a place for you that Jesus has gone off to prepare, but He's also made many rooms. So we got to give up that comfort to make sure they're filled by sharing the gospel and trusting the Holy Spirit to do the work. And it also requires us to give up easy Christianity. Listen again, if somebody has told you that Christianity means health, wealth, prosperity, security, they're selling you something. They're not telling you the truth. Easy Christianity means that I can pray a prayer, get dunked, and then sit in a pew and do nothing with my faith for the kingdom of God. That's easy Christianity. And in fact, some would say that's not Christianity at all, and they'd be right. Christian means little Christ. It means that we identify with Jesus and we try to imitate him in all things. And that requires us to give up something. And so it requires a sacrifice. But trust that it's worth it in the end. Ultimately, what Jesus is saying is he wants you to live for something greater. He wants you to live for something better than that new house, better than that new car, better than that stuff you can amass. Jesus is calling you to a greater mission here on earth. Listen, I have a mission to make sure my family is taken care of. I have a mission to make sure my kids are safe. I have a mission to make sure that I do everything I can as a father, as a husband, to provide for my family. But the greater mission is to make sure that my family looks like Jesus. Because if my family does not look like Jesus and they're not washed with the water of the Word, they're not trained up in the things of God, then I have missed the mission. The greatest mission, which is the reason I exist as a Christian. The mission is to advance the gospel so that my family, my friends, my neighbors will also know and look like Christ. But it's worth it. And the ultimate reward that we have is that we will have eternal life, eternal glory, and eternal blessing through Jesus Christ. So here's a challenge for you and I today. You and I have enlisted in God's army if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus. And the challenge for you and I is to simply do this. Finish the mission. It's worth it. It's worth it.